There is a thin veil that protects humanity from the horrors and darkness of the other. Within the other lives everything that our minds can bring to imagination. Or maybe it is not imagination at all, and just a thinly veiled reality that our mind cannot believe to be true. The veil is the will of humanity to protect the innocent from the dangerous and the horrible. A pursuit to ensure that the darkness of the other does not consume the world. The vanguard are those who uphold the veil, who know the truth of the horrors and fight it every day to protect the innocent. They must ensure that the balance is maintained and the darkness held at bay. We are the vanguard of the veil. Welcome, everyone, to another session of the Vanguard of the Veil, a Monster of the Week actual play podcast powered by the Apocalypse System. I am your keeper, Fred, and my pronouns are he, him. And starring with us today, Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. My pronouns are whatever you'd like, and I'm playing Agatha, whose pronouns are she, her.
Josh.
Hi, I am playing Amos, and our pronouns are he and him.
Steph.
What's up? I am playing Natalia, and our pronouns are she, her.
And Matthew.
Hey, everybody, I'm Matthew. I play Agent C, and our pronouns are he, him.
Well, we did play last week, so it hasn't been a long time, so that's good. But I don't recall much. So, Matthew, I'm going to need you to remind us.
Absolutely. On the last episode of Vanguard of the Veil, back in Mea Culpa, a mysterious pop-up haunted house has been spotted in the area and might be tied to missing children. The agency's most professional employee, Delilah, reports the haunted house will next be in Madre Linda, just outside Mea Culpa. The team of Agatha, Amos, Natalia, and Agency head out. The house in question is pitch black and appears to have been placed on an empty lot at the end of a street. Teens hang outside the house, cracking wise. The hunters observe as a group of teens knock on the door and enter the house. They discover that for a group to enter, there needs to be a group of eight. The hunters join up with four teens, Brock, River, Joan, and Phoebe, and enter the house. The door closes behind them. Inside the house is very dark, but as the group enters a second room, they find a fireplace and plinths with lifelike busts of each of the eight visitors. Natalia, bothered by the youths of today, elects to smash the bust of teen Brock. As it crashes, the room goes dark. There's a scream. And after a moment, the lights return. The remaining busts have expressions of terror, and Brock is missing. A trail of blood leads to another room.
Yeah, so there's blood on the floor. Some dude's dragged away and a door has opened.
Yeah, a door that was not there before, right?
Correct. But there is a door there now. Now, upon looking on the door, it actually looks very weird. As you get close to the door, you can see that the door is maybe slightly ajar, or you're not sure. You can maybe take a closer look. You can talk to the three NPCs or interact with the bus. What would you like to do?
We've interacted with the busts already.
Yes. They are all in horrific, anguished, pained expressions.
And the one that's got dragged away, was he dragged through said door, or is he dragged somewhere else? Okay.
Oh, well, he is gone, and then there is a blood smear on the ground that goes through this door.
I couldn't remember if it actually went through the door or if it went in a different direction, and then this door appeared and we were like...
So as you take a closer look at this new door that the blood smear goes to, you notice that there are multiple doors. It's interesting. There is a door on the inside of the frame and then a door on the outside of the frame. And you realize that it is more of a revolving door, but not the ones that you're used to with glass pane doors. It is full wooden doors that are revolving.
So it's not a jar, it's revolving.
Yes, that is correct.
Go up and like kind of rotate the door a bit and see what happens.
It does so.
Okay.
So you said it's like four doors? Or just in the way that a revolving door is like four pieces?
Yeah. So like right now you could probably see three of the doors, right? It's kind of like a pie wedge, like 24 doors, 25% of space rotating within the frame of the doorway.
How much space is in one of the wedges? Like how many people could be in between two doors going through
one person.
Okay. So it would be like too tight of a squeeze for two people at once.
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to make it happen, but it is incredibly tight.
Okay.
Agency will go through the door.
Okay.
Everyone, follow me. We got to figure out what happened to this kid. And don't mess with those busts anymore.
I had to for science.
What will be the marching order with Agency leading?
I'll go after C.
Then I'll go.
I'm going to shuffle the children through and I'll take up the rear.
I'll go after the children before Natalia.
When I go through the door, when Amos goes through the door, he is going to, much like the previous door, I'm going to thumbprint it really inconspicuously and jolt a little bit of my magic in there. And then I'm going to see if I can still sense my previous... Fred, for the sake of ease and mental, just think of it as I just put a nail in it, like a magical nail. I didn't actually do this, but just imagine I put a nail in it and I'm trying to detect if I can still feel that nail that was out there and if I can also feel this one.
Yeah, so you can sense the power that is provided from your arcane mark on the door.
Yeah, I still feel it's there.
The door isn't there anymore, though. You can sense the mark, but the previous door you went through no longer exists.
Do I feel it in the same spot? If I'm it should be behind me. Is it behind me or do I just feel it somewhere? I can't.
Yes. You definitely feel it in the same spot that you had left it.
Sick. Okay, cool. I take note of this and I walk through.
So we have Agency, then Amos, then who goes next?
Then the children.
The children.
The teens.
Okay, so one at a time, and then Natalia or Agatha?
Agatha.
Then Natalia. So yep. Natalia goes last. Okay, so Agency, as you come out the other side of this revolving doorway, you find yourself in a room that is much larger than normal. Not just the room itself, but everything around you. The bed next to you is impossibly larger, making you feel quite small. As you start to get your bearings and you are kind of focusing on the different aspects of this room with these large bookcases, this large desk.
For scale purposes? The size of a mouse small or
I would probably more the size of a young child. You're probably large animal sized or small human sized,
I can't quite see on the top of the bed.
Correct. Yeah, you're probably flush with the top of the bed for your eyesight. And as you start to focus and kind of get a hold of the area around you, you can see somebody that is cowering in the corner of the room with their hands up. Next to them is a large man, and you can see that there is this commotion happening. This man is just yelling, talking angrily with his hands and his arms, and this woman is cowering in the corner of her room, and you don't really hear what is happening. You just hear loud noises, yelling, but you're unable to make the words that are being given back and forth between these two people. And as this is going on, one voice breaks through the commotion. "You have the power now, Charlie. You can stop this, Charlie. Just let me in. You don't have to do a thing." And as this voice is speaking to you, you get a sensation, this urge inside you to allow this thing to happen. I would like for you to roll an act under pressure roll.
That is 9 on the dice plus.
Well, now before you continue, unfortunately, you have no cool bonuses and you actually take a circumstantial minus 2 to your roll. So you said you had a 9?
I had a 9.
So you are partially successful on this act under pressure roll. You start to feel this overwhelming sensation, as if you are not in control of yourself. And you look down at your hands, and the hands that you are looking at are not the hands of a weathered professional, an agent. You look down at the hands of a young boy, probably around 6 to 7 years old. They're shaking as emotions of fear and anger course through your body. Then the hands start to turn red as your hands clench into fists. Trembling from the effort of holding back these surging emotions. And then you don't. You allow it to course over you. All you want to do is to save your mother. It takes over. Your skin starts to turn red and starts ripping as the hands below grow larger. Knife-like talons erupt from your fingernails. The room starts to get smaller as you start to grow larger and overshadow everything. The man standing over your mother looks up at you, fear in the eyes for the first time. Now, I would like for you to roll kick some ass.
Do I have any
situational bonuses?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, so you actually get a +3 to tough for this roll, and you get a +2 circumstantial bonus.
Okay, yes. So that would be 13.
So you are definitely successful. Now, once again, although the emotions and the anger within you are very real, you don't feel like you're actually in control of yourself right now. Something else has taken over, and you have almost taken a step back, and you are kind of like in the passenger seat, in the back seat of a car that's moving. The man before you takes a swing at you, at you, the ever-growing demonic version of yourself. You grab the fist midair, and you basically just snap it to the side, and a resounding crack just resonates around the room, and the man starts to scream as you see a bone protruding out of the man's right arm. You then grab the man's shoulder with your right hand, and your talons kind of just slice into his body, and you move your head forward in a rapid motion, and you just crack into this man's nose with a crunching noise. Your vision starts to kind of cloud a little bit, and things go a little hazy. The last thing you remember is your hand bursting through the stomach of this person, and you basically black out.
Damn.
Amos.
Hey, it's me.
You enter in the doorway. You come into what is like a chaotic scene. You enter into what looks like a bedroom. You know, it is normal and of insignificance, but it is splattered with blood.
Neat.
Before you is Phoebe, one of the girls that was in the room behind you. They didn't enter in before you, but they're here now, cowering in the corner. And in front of you are two people. Well, if you could call them people. One of them is River, the other young adult that came into the room with you, eviscerated, and the other is a demon. What you assume is a demon. Its back is turned to you. Large, red skin, horns. It is monstrous. What do you do?
What's the demon wearing?
The demon is not wearing anything.
Full hog.
Oh, hello. Okay, I see the demon, and I like, much like one would do at a cat that has jumped on the counter, like that's what it's doing. You're like, hey!
And as you do that, you can see that it slowly pulls his hand out of this person's stomach, and the person drops to the ground. River just crumples like a bag of potatoes. And then the demon starts to turn around and look at you. You get this preternatural sense. You have a feeling that the person that you, or this, I apologize, this demon that you're looking at is Charlie. And you know this because the secret order that you work with, that you're an agent of, has tasked you with this specific thing. That if agency, if Charlie ever lost control, it is your responsibility to take him down. At this moment, as you see the tattered clothing of agency on the ground around the feet of this demon, and as it turns around bearing the full magnificence of its hog.
Glistening.
That's America's hog.
What do you do?
I like, almost like sighs, and is like, all right, I guess. And will jump into action. I am a quite accomplished magic user, Fred. I have a lot of magic powers. We both agree, right?
I agree. 100%.
We agree.
You are the spell slinger of the group.
I'm the baddest and bitch.
A strong one at that.
I'm so strong. So I think that I will be utilizing magic in a way. Okay. I will use magic to banish a spirit or curse from the person, object, or place it inhabits. If I need to upgrade this into big magic, I'm willing to do so via fun spell slinger antics.
So big magic typically requires a lot of effort, whether it is predetermined, you know, artifacts or a group of people or some kind of sacrifice. If you are trying to attempt to banish this demon who has been basically placed into agency, it will probably require a very high cost.
You know, banish is a strong word. It's not that I want to remove it, but rather
subdue
it. Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. That is what I would much rather do. I would much like to force it back down, as if, like, you know, you're about to throw up, so you lift the person's chin up.
Got and then it. Like, okay.
And like rub, massage their neck until it goes back down. I want to do something like that magically to our Charlie here.
So you want to hold Charlie up and rub him down?
Yes.
Okay.
As per the usual.
So what do you think, like, what move, but really what action are you going to do through this move to subdue this just demonic entity of cruelty and to coax Charlie out of that?
Here's the deal, Fred, and you're gonna listen, you're gonna roll your eyes. I already know it. I can feel it in my loins, but I don't care, because here's what's happening, right? When the human body goes through elevated states of emotion, what is one of the things that happens? The heart rate. It goes, it's faster. The heart rate is pushing blood through the circulatory system. What does that do? It generates heat. And Fred, if there's one thing you know about Amos, it's that he can reverse heat.
So how do you plan to remove this heat from Demon Charlie?
I will be removing the heat just as just slowing the energy down, to be honest. I will be taking all of the molecules and atoms that are vibrating, slowing them down to give Charlie a chance, because his system will have cooled. His brain will be caught back up into a calmer state, because it's not fighting to cool off right now. It won't be warm. And then Charlie will have a much greater ability to retake control. Also, when you get colder, you become tired and lethargic. So I will be absorbing the energy from the molecules to slow the body down so okay. that the mind can take over and Charlie can get back in control.
This will require both, obviously, whichever move you choose, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be use magic or whatnot, but it also will require some kind of physical contact.
Physical contact?
Yes.
Easy. I'm not afraid to do that.
How,
not for my Charlie.
How do you physically touch Charlie to remove the heat from his body, the demonic version of him?
Easy. I will, if Agatha and Natalia are not in the room.
They are not.
They're going to miss out, to be honest. I'm going to move in a way that Charlie has never seen before. I lay it on thick with my farmer attitude and accent, my Pennsylvania lifestyle. But the gag of the century is that this is what I do. I am this high level magic expert, and I will move like a seasoned athletic martial artist, dive in those swinging demon claw blows and slam my thumb right into the forehead of our good Charlie.
Okay. What move are you going to do to execute this?
So do you need to roll, pick two things to roll?
You don't have to pick two things. I only want you to pick one thing, and it could be any move, as long as you can express how that move allows you to subdue this demon. So you could do kick some ass as you slam into his forehead with your thumb. You can use magic to heighten your athletic abilities to be able to move within the throes and slashes of this creature. You could motivate someone and use motivation to maybe motivate Charlie to overcome his demonic half. There's a lot of
Yeah, I'm gonna use magic, because there's a use magic that says trap a specific person, minion, or monster, and trap could mean many things. And in this case, I will be re-trapping this beast into our beautiful Charlie's subconscious. Sick. 9 on the dice plus 3, 12.
You are successful.
I have an advanced move for use magic, so you have to pick a benefit.
I'm gonna say that as you just move with incredible farm boy athletic prowess, and it is almost like a dance that you and this demonic Charlie are doing as you incant your, you know, magic and just move in between the punches and slashes of this creature. You connect with this demon Charlie and you strike your thumb against its forehead, and your two faces are within mere centimeters of each other. You're going to make a connection with this side of Charlie, and when he goes under this cruel control of this demon, I'm going to give you +1 ongoing to be able to help subdue. Like, you kind of have a better understanding now of how this creature operates, and you feel like you can help support him in the future to overcome these urges that he gets.
Okay. Does Charlie return to normal form? Also, is he naked?
Yes, to both.
Okay. Is Charlie conscious?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm very close to Charlie's face.
Yes.
My thumb on his forehead. I see Charlie come back, and I'm going to, like, you know, the soft, gentle, like, I'm holding your head by your neck really, like, supportively. I'm going to grab Charlie like that. I'm going to put my forehead on his forehead, and I'm going to say, "Don't worry, man, I got you." Every time.
Brad, I'm going to look at my hands.
They are weathered adult hands.
Are they covered in blood?
As you look down at your body and everything around you, your clothes just ruined and scattered all over the floor. Your hands covered in blood. You look across from Amos to the other side of the room, and there is a person there, a eviscerated person, one of the youths that came into this house with you, and you are currently looking at that person.
I think at that, Charlie will just collapse onto his knees and go a little catatonic.
Christ alive.
Agatha.
Yeah.
You walk into what looks like, well, I wouldn't call it a room. Maybe it's an atrium. You know, it is weirdly thick and forested. It's almost like a jungle-like area. Natalia shortly enters into the room after you, and the two of you are looking into this really just thick, ropey vines that are clinging on to large branches, densely dispersed and obscuring the dark night sky. It's hot. It's thick. There's a moisture in the air, and the buzzing of gnats and insects kind of like crowd your senses. It's hard to pay attention to what's going on. It's very disorienting. You have this weird sensation, though, that this is something that has happened before. You've had countless jungle escapades, hunting creatures alongside Natalia, but this was different somehow. You have the distinct feeling that you're the one being hunted.
Okay, I'll look around. Do I see Natalia coming in behind me?
Yeah, she's standing maybe a couple steps behind you.
Am I also experiencing this, or is this just Alex?
No, you're there. Yeah, you're experiencing this. The door behind you, though, no longer exists. It is just an endless expanse of terrain, a jungle-like terrain. It's a very disorienting feeling.
Can I roll for read a bad situation?
Yes, absolutely.
I got a 12. So I'm going to ask, what's the biggest threat right now?
The biggest threat is that there is a predator, something that is currently hunting the two of you. You can feel it in the way that the hair stands up on your skin. You are currently being observed and you're unable to see it. There is some kind of apex creature currently hunting you and Natalia.
All right, I'm going to try to suss out like where it could be coming from and try to get between whatever it is and Natalia.
So you move to her side and you kind of pivot to her right side, and you're kind of like looking through the dense foliage, and then you look up and then you pivot again, and you do the same process several times, and you realize that whatever is hunting you is not on the ground and it is probably in the trees.
All right.
Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask? Did you get two questions?
Okay. I'm going to ask, what is the best way to protect the victims? And by victims, I mean Natalia.
So like your, yeah, your ward, right? Okay, so you feel like you are going to have to be able to act very quickly. You're going to have to act violently because whatever is hunting you is bearing down on you. So you're definitely going to want to protect someone or, you know, be ready to act under pressure.
Okay. I will prepare to act under pressure the moment I feel like I need to.
Natalia, I would like for you to act under pressure.
Okay. That's a 10.
Okay. So you are successful and you have this kind of like extra sense and it warns you that you are about to get pounced on and you dodge out of the way while kind of tapping Agatha and kind of letting her know at the same time that something is coming. And as you do so, you move out of the spot that you were standing in just in time as what looks like an 800-pound gorilla just collides with the ground. The dust and leaves that cover the ground rise up, creating kind of like this smoky haze, this fog that is very hard to breathe and see through. And you have just avoided getting crushed by this massive creature. You haven't seen an animal of this size before. It is much larger than anything that you've hunted that wasn't supernatural. Agatha and Natalia, what would you like to do?
I'll let you go first if you want to.
I'm going to try to shoot it.
Okay. Roll kick some ass.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to use the expert move, which I have, called Precise Strike. So I rolled tough. I got a 10. So on a 10 plus, you inflict plus 2 harm.
Oh, wow.
On my regular harm. My hunting rifle is a 2 harm, so that's a 4 harm total.
So with this just quick hunter-like speed, you are seasoned at being the predator yourself, and you immediately just shoot this creature as it drops where you were at.
Yeah, I like brace myself against Agatha, and she's also like used to this, so.
And you do so, and you inflict 4 points of harm. But the fact that you are so close allows this creature to get a hit in on you, and you are going to take massive amounts of damage. Okay. Now, did we discuss whether or not you had gotten some kind of like armor from the last time?
Natalia does have 1 armor, yes.
1 armor, okay. So you're going to take 5 points of damage.
Alrighty.
But I'm going to say you have an opportunity to deflect 2 of those points on top of your armor if you wield your weapon in front of you. So do you sacrifice your current weapon or do you keep it? And do you take that excess damage or do you deflect it?
Yeah, I'll drop the weapon because I'm rich and I have a bunch of guns and Agatha has my other guns.
So it isn't the fact that you drop the weapon, you kind of brandish it in front of you. And what you don't realize is that due to the kind of haze, this ground soil that's in the air, the first arm swings and you were able to dodge out of its way. It was the second set of arms that you didn't anticipate.
Wait.
And this second set of arms crushes the like, rifle that is in your hand.
Wait, and now like it has extra arms?
It has 4 arms.
Kevin.
What the fuck is this?
And you take 2 points of damage. Your rifle is broken. Okay. And now Agatha gets to go.
Seeing what happened, I will quickly try to pull out the most useful gun, like probably something heavy, like an elephant gun or something. I'll try to pull out a gun and do a, I can make you look good. So I'm going to help out on her next roll.
Okay.
So I'm rolling help somebody. And I get a +2 to my help somebody because it's her. I got a 10 exactly.
Nice.
So I got a 10 on help out.
So now, Natalia, you both have a weapon and you also have the support of Agatha, which is going to give you a bonus on your next attack roll.
Hey.
Prior to you being able to make another move, though, just the pure ferocity of this 4-armed monstrosity. And as you get a more clear, closer look, there are features to this gorilla that are beyond the standard animal. It is almost as if it has been twisted with some kind of magic or some kind of maybe bloodline that makes it look a lot more demonic in sense, a monstrous version of a apex predator that now has four arms. You both need to act under pressure.
Natalia is like this real mix of like, she's a little bit frightened, but she's mostly like very intrigued and excited and a little bit horny because like, this is very exciting. You know, this is a challenge, something new.
I got a 10 for act under pressure.
I got a 9.
Okay, so Natalia, you're partially successful. Agatha, you are successful. And for you, Natalia, once again, you're going to take 5 points of damage.
Ooh.
Now, once again, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You can allow yourself to have your weapon destroyed and deflect 2 points of damage, or you're going to take 4 points of damage this time.
Hmm.
You took 2 last time.
Yeah. If I take 4, I only have 1 box left.
Correct. And there will be some kind of harm threshold, a penalty due to the damage that you take.
I'm going to hold on to my gun now because it's a good gun.
Okay.
So I will take that damage.
Damn.
And as you do so, you take the full brunt of this creature's attack.
Ow.
And you are going to take like a -1 to your next roll. You're like dazed or stunned. So whether it's an attack or something else, you will take a -1 for that one roll.
Right.
Now, either Agatha or Natalia can go, but you do have the remaining effects of whatever Agatha did last round to aid you as well.
Yeah, so I should probably go first.
Yeah. Okay. Also, for my help out, I rolled a 10, but I have a 1-6 and 1-1. Mm. So whatever you roll, okay, you can exchange one of your dice for one of my 6s.
Cool. Got it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same expert move, precise strike. Alrighty. I got a 3 and a 6, so we'll swap that. So that makes it a 13.
Yes.
All right, so that is an incredible success.
Great. So the elephant gun is 4 harm, then plus another 2 from the precise strike, so that's 6 harm.
And then you also do get to select a success bonus. I believe a 10 plus, when not advanced, does get one of the minor one of the minor bonuses. So you could do like extra harm. You could reduce the harm that you take, you know, a lot of these options.
No, because if I take any harm, I'm down. So I'm going to do 1 more harm.
Okay. So you did 7 damage.
Yeah.
You did incredible amounts of damage, regardless of whether or not this is a demonic creature. Your elephant gun just strikes true and tears through one of the arms. And now the arm of the gorilla is like lopped off onto the ground. You just blew off one of his arms, but it does react and it does come straight for you due to the kick some ass and the fact that you're in such close proximity to it. It is going to pick up its missing limb and then just clubs you with it. And you are going to take, once again, 5 points of harm.
Luck point.
But unfortunately, you have 0 luck points.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm dead.
So the arm of this creature strikes you and it just smashes you into the ground. And you are currently just immobile, bleeding on the ground. Now, I'm going to give Agatha, since she still has a turn, an opportunity to prevent what is about to happen from happening. You have the protect someone, I believe, still. You can go and see if you could try to prevent this.
Okay. I guess I will try to roll to protect someone.
Okay.
I have a -1 to it, but I will try my hardest.
I believe in you.
I got a 7.
Okay. You protect them, but you'll suffer some or all of the harm they were going to get.
Right.
So now, instead of Natalia receiving this, you're going to literally place yourself in front of Natalia, and you're going to take the full brunt of this attack. And you're going to take 5 points of damage. Do you have any armor?
Okay. I do not know.
Okay, so you do go into a harm threshold and you are dazed. You are going to take a -1 on your next roll as well. I would like for both of you to act under pressure.
Red, why do you hate us?
I'm going to take a minus one to this one, Alex.
Okay.
I'm going to piss myself.
With the minus one, I still get 11.
Okay. You are successful.
I got 8.
Okay. So once again, you are partially successful, and unfortunately, you are going to take harm. Unfortunately, nothing can prevent this harm that you're going to take, and Natalia is just pummeled into the ground. Agatha, at this point, you have two options. You can either try to escape, as you can see that Natalia is probably beyond saving.
She's mush.
Or you can try to pick up this gun and hopefully finish this creature in one shot, because then it will retaliate.
I will, in fact, retaliate instead of running. I guess I'll try kick some ass. I'm not good at it. I got a gentleman's 4.
Okay.
Ooh. Not a gentleman's 4.
4 if you're nasty.
You are unsuccessful, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And you are going to draw the ire of this creature, and it just starts to bear down on you with its 3 remaining fists, and it just starts to pummel you. You're going to take 5 points of damage. Now, you can use a luck point if you want.
Oh, I have luck points?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hacks.
Yeah, so I will use a luck point to prevent the harm.
Okay, so you do so, and you're able to dodge, even though you're going through an incredibly anguished emotional state. The ward that you have been protecting, working, aiding side by side for the greater part of your life, for as long as you can remember, is incapacitated, is on the ground, unconscious or dead, as she put it, pink slime on the ground. But you don't know if she is dead. You have this creature. It is way beyond you or Natalia's expertise. It is an incredibly aggressive, demonic entity. Once again, I'm going to ask you, do you take this opportunity to try to escape, or are you going to try to attack this creature?
I'm
going to
look down at the puddle of pink slime and then look back at the bag of weapons. I'm going to pull out a sword. I'm going to say, sorry, I failed you, ma'am. We went out on the hunt. And I'm going to walk towards the gorilla and just try to strike it with the sword.
Sick.
Okay.
Oh, that time I've got a 3.
Okay. Can you luck point the thing? Can you luck point?
That's, yes. I was going to mention that you can utilize a luck point to change your role to a great success.
Okay, that's probably a good idea. Oh, yeah. Oh, if not, I'm going to be pink dust as well. I will, I'll do that. Hurt it.
And then, even though it's not advanced, you do get the option of doing one bonus, which extra harm can be that bonus.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, so you come in and you strike with all of your might and your anger in your anguish. And this machete, it goes through this creature, and it is just a devastating blow, both from the 2 shots that Natalia had already softened up this creature, bleeding out of a missing arm. You're able to get into its defenses, and you strike it right into its heart, and it stops. It drops on top of you, all 800 pounds of it, nearly crushing the wind out of your chest as you try to brace this machete that kind of digs further and further until you feel it burst out of the backside. But now you are pinned underneath this gorilla. Natalia is sitting in a pool of her blood next to you, and that is where we're going to call it for tonight. Hey everyone, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to our new Geek League project, Vanguard of the Veil. If you're interested in learning more about our podcast, follow us on Twitter at Vanguard Veil. If you want to hear more shows like ours, then check out Cthulhu and Friends and Greeting Adventurers, which is a part of the Geekly Inc. network. If you want to follow the people that creates this show, you can follow the Keeper, Fred, at I Think I'm Fred. Professor Gunderson is played by Matthew at Matthew M. Morris. Deandra is played by Alex at Happy Puke. Spin is played by Josh at Josketh. Artemisia is played by Steph at Steph O. Kingston. Our show is also edited and produced by Kieran at Mr. K_Bennett, and all music and sound effects are courtesy of Epidemic Sounds.